With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Studio 132 in New York, you're listening to the Knicks postgame show live on Blog Talk Radio, simulcasted on RealGM.com and NewYorkKnicksFanPage.com. I am your host, Tommy D. We welcome all the listeners, certainly to give us a buzz here, 646-478-5554. Feel free to Yahoo, I am at T21 as we talk Knicks basketball. And hey, listen, an eventful couple of days, or certainly a week since the last time we spoke, or we were on the air anyway, and a lot to get to, certainly a lot of trade rumors going on out there regarding Zach Randolph. We'll get into that. Certainly a interesting situation, as it always seems to be with Stephon Marbury. Now, it appears that he will not be part of the Knicks future. He will be part of the roster for the time being, just won't be playing, won't be suiting up thanks to a balky foot injury. We'll get into that as well. But, you know, you got to talk positives here as the Knicks manage their second straight victory at home, 105-93 tonight against a Wizards team. And, you know, real easy to point to the fact that the Wizards last night, or the Wizards in general, keeping it together minus their superstar Gilbert Arenas, who has not played due to an injury. But the Wizards managed last night to go into Boston and beat the Celtics. And they came into New York tonight, the Knicks obviously following a tremendous game against a very deflated Detroit Pistons team who bounced back, responded like a championship team that they are tonight with the currently leading the Toronto Raptors 103-87, going out and pounding Toronto after a day that they needed, certainly when they stepped into the Garden a couple nights ago, unable to get it done on a Sunday that was very eventful in New York. And before we get into anything related to the Knicks, hey, you know, let's talk at least, well, something that came to my mind, you know, having to sit on the couch and kind of fight my girlfriend for the remote control. Apparently tonight was the first episode of American Idol of the season. And, you know, when you have a serious or significant other, it's like it or not, you know, I mean, I guess I could have, you know, gone into another room, but, you know, you want to spend some quality time, and, you know, here comes American Idol. And not a show that I'm a tremendous fan of, but, you know, considering what happened last year, I found myself rooting for not the girl Jordan Sparks, but her father, Felipe, who, as a huge Giant fan, was, I'll tell you, I mean, this guy was easily the best cover corner that the Giants have had at least in the last 20 years. I mean, this guy was a spectacular football player. And a quick story about Felipe Sparks and his daughter. I happened to work in Manhattan, and there was a huge entourage that was around Midtown near, I guess she was doing an interview with People Magazine, and, you know, a bunch of people were going crazy and, you know, wanted to get a picture with her and autographs with her, and standing to the side holding a cell phone in a briefcase, and, you know, seemed to be all of her paperwork was her father. So I actually had the opportunity to walk over to him and said, listen, you know, congratulations on your daughter, of course. You know, she's going to be a star. She's not the only star in the family. as a big Giants fan, you know, Felipe, I can't tell you, what a great player you were, and you know, us Giants fans, you know, don't forget you. And he looked at me like, you know, his eyes lit up, and he couldn't believe that somebody recognized him. And you know, football is a sport where they all wear helmets, and it's difficult to be recognized. But you know, when you're in New York and you recognize just how good Felipe Sparks was, you know, certainly Giants fans out there, I would hope would agree with me. You know, I don't think they've had a cover corner since. I've certainly had to go through the two Wills, Will Peterson and Will Allen, amongst a plethora of others. But Felipe Sparks was a guy who was as good a cover corner as there could have been in Giants blue. And I had the opportunity one day in Manhattan over the summer to see him and congratulate him on his daughter's success. And you know, hey, when your girlfriend's a teacher, she tends to nod off a little bit early, and you can flip it back on to the next game. And I was fortunate enough to do that. And hey, listen, when a team goes out there and shoots 65% from three and gets out to a tremendous start as they did early on in the game, they really went out and threw a punch in the first quarter, outscoring the Wizards 30-14. And you know, what a tremendous job that was. And a guy who, you know, obviously without Marbury there, and again, we'll get to Marbury in a second, but, you know, a guy who I've been really big on, and somebody who is not a starting player in the NBA, and is not a starting player, you know, you don't want to see him as a starting player in the Knicks, but a guy who just gives positive minutes night in, night out, that's Freddie Jones. And a guy who is an Isaiah guy, and he brought him in, he's kind of had him, he drafted him. He had him in Indiana. Obviously, it seems this season when Jones comes on the court, he knocks down threes tonight. 2 of 3 in the first quarter, I believe, on his way to 10 points, and really didn't get a lot of minutes in the second half there as Isaiah went to Nate and Crawford in the backcourt. But Jones is a guy who, hey, you know, he gives you, if he's knocking down jump shots, I mean, the guy needs to be on the court. There's no question about that. He's a tremendous defender, and a guy who just really he really encapsulates what a Knick should be. I mean, he's diving on the ground for loose balls. You know, making tip plays, passing the ball well. He gets a couple rebounds. You know, it doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but a guy who really made it very difficult for Caron Butler who's really the only, or Stevenson, I should say, because he was guarding Stevenson in the beginning of the game. Stevenson was really a non-factor. 40 minutes, 1 of 6 from the field, just 4 points. Attribute a lot to that to Freddie Jones's defense in the first quarter. And the thing that you really like a lot about the Knicks tonight was their ability to respond. The Wizards did have something in the tank. It's not like they completely, you know, didn't show, and give Eddie Jordan a lot of credit. There's a guy who, you know, you kind of scratch your head. These other teams who are kind of these middle-of-the-road teams, as the Wizards have been, certainly haven't had a tremendous amount of success over the years. You know, you can name a handful of teams that are kind of, you line them up in a row, and you can talk about teams that haven't had success. Mediocrity, I guess, would be the best word to use. For Washington, and give Eddie Jordan a lot of credit. He's got them playing hard. He's got them playing disciplined basketball. You know, they went out after kind of laying an egg in the first quarter there and came back with 27 in the second, 31 in the third, and the Knicks responded. They just every time the Wizards made a run, got it down to 6. The Knicks just wouldn't let the lead get below 6 points. And you know, obviously, give Jamal Crawford a ton of credit for that. It just seemed every time they needed a big bucket, he hit one. Of course, Nate hit one when Washington cut it to 6 points there in the fourth quarter. But just timely hoop after timely hoop. And again, you know, in this league, if you're going to go out there and shoot 65% from the field from three-point range, you know, you're gonna have some success. There's no question about that. 646-478-5554. Before we get into the whole Stephon Marbury situation, just like to give a shout out to our friends at Real GM, and we'll have a spot on the show here where we kind of dive into the forums and talk a little hoops, as well as we will try on New York fan page, nickfanpage.com, just to get an idea of what you guys out there are thinking. And feel free to give us a call if you hear your name shouted out, or if you want to put those thoughts into words, feel free to do so at 646-478-5554. And, you know, unfortunately, the whole Marbury situation, it's been a tumultuous year for Steph. It's been a tumultuous time in New York, let's be honest, certainly since he came back and donned a Knicks uniform a couple years ago. And here's my take on the situation from somebody who, you know, does have a little sympathy for Steph, because I had the opportunity when I was playing high school ball to spend a week out at Five Star Camp, the famed Howard Garfinkel camp for high school basketball players. Really, the cream of the crop. If you had any dreams or aspirations to play basketball, certainly Five Star for 30 years has been the place where you'd go, where coaches would spot talent, and even more so, you know, guys like Hubie Brown or guys like Rick Pitino or Mark Jackson, or, you know, anybody would come in and gladly give of their time to help out young and upcoming kids. I had the opportunity to play against Marbury at Five Star back in the early 90s now. It's one of my only career basketball highlight was taking Steph off the dribble and knocking down a shot, and the whole place went nuts, and I couldn't understand why. I didn't know this kid from a hole in the wall. And a friend of mine, now Steve Massiello, who's now the assistant coach at Louisville for Pitino, you know, I went up to him and I said, "Listen, why'd everybody go nuts, you know, when I knocked down a shot after I crossed over?" He said, "Do you know who that kid is?" And I said, "I had no idea. Skinny kid, about 6 foot from Brooklyn." He said, "That's Stephon Marbury. He's going to be the next Kenny Anderson." And, you know, anytime you hear the words Kenny Anderson as a guard in New York, certainly kind of, you know, raises the antlers there a little bit. And I kept an eye on him, very close eye on him through his high school career. My sympathy for Steph lies in an interesting thing that came up the other day. I had the opportunity to watch MSG. MSG had their they call it's the MSG Vault, where they play clips or games from a long time ago, and they happened to show the 1995 PSAL championship, Marbury's last chance to win a city championship as a rail splitter at Abraham Lincoln High School in Coney Island. And they faced Paul Robeson High School. Just a tremendous matchup and a game that really defined Steph in a sense that he was New York's kid. He was the second coming after that victory. And Mike Quick, who does just a tremendous job with MSG, no frills, you know, just a no propaganda, no nonsense reporter for MSG, said something very interesting that not too many people have talked about. Nobody's talked about it, but I'll talk about it. Marbury, to get an idea of who Stephon Marbury is to know that he was at the last. He was the family's last chance to make it. Of course, he had several brothers who went on to relatively successful careers. Certainly, when you think about making it, you would think about sending your son to college on a full scholarship and allowing them the opportunity to get a free education. But the Marburys looked at the younger siblings as opportunities for them to thrive from a basketball standpoint. Certainly, you can understand that. But the amount of pressure that Steph has faced for such a long time it really has to, if you were to get into the psyche of the guy, I mean, he's certainly a strange guy, obviously from what happened over the summer, just very puzzling comments to the media. Everybody was screaming for him to hire a PR agent. You know, he just some strange stuff going on with Steph. But when you think about the amount of pressure that was on Steph from day one, really, you can kind of get a sense of what's kind of manifesting itself at this point. And, you know, you can't help but feel sorry for the guy, you know, regardless of his contract, regardless of how much money he makes, his lifestyle, blah, blah, blah. You know, his career has been a tremendous disappointment, and it was never, you know, it's not a Tiger Woods situation where you have a child prodigy who just wants to chase championships. You know, Steph was trying to get his family out of a tough financial situation, and that can be, you know, I'm playing amateur psychiatrist here, but, you know, you can see the frustration and a lot of things that coming through Steph, and they're kind of manifesting themselves now, and it's one of those things. You know, we'll get into, you know, the negatives with Steph, his overbearing ego, you know, the fact that maybe younger players on this team have no reason to look up to him. He's not a Patrick Ewing figure or somebody who's won college championships or, you know, somebody who comes in to the gym every day with the idea of being great. Marbury's a Hall of Fame talent, and he's not a Hall of Fame player, and that can be the saddest thing of it all when you really think about it. 646-478-5554. We head to the phones. Area code 914. What's up?
TD.
Is this Mr. Big Shot?
It is. And you know what? You know what? Sonny from Broxdale said, "There's nothing worse in life than wasted talent."
And you know, when you look at, first of all, let's preface by saying, the man I'm on the line with just a monster game winner in a wreck basketball game last night that meant so much to us. We needed a win in the biggest way, and Brian from Scarsdale comes through. When you need a big bucket, you know who you're going to.
Hey, anyway, it could have gotten anybody. I just, you know, put
down
my head
one,
down.
Can I set the stage? Down
put
one.
Put my head down, split the zone.
Down one with 15 seconds to go, standing around, facing a tough zone, trying to create a shot, and our boy Brian puts his head down, the floater in the lane, good, one stop, game over.
Yeah. Yeah, and a big stop, controversial ending, but how many men's leagues games don't end with controversy?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a job that I wouldn't want in a million years.
I feel bad for those guys.
Good people. But, you know, when we talk about Steph, you know, here's the situation where the guy, you know, I have some sympathy for the guy. There's no question about it. But, you know, from like you said, there's no such thing in the world as wasted talent. And, you know, I get text message all the time, and I talk about, you know, the Knicks and whatever, and I got a text message from a friend who said, you know, name me three guys in the history of the NBA who have averaged 20 and 10 over three or four straight years. And I thought about it, and the first name that came to my head was Marbury.
Right.
I said Marbury, I said Oscar Robertson, and I got the third one right, and it's escaping me right now. You know, I don't think it's Nash. I think it's, it could be Magic. You know, one of those guys.
Right.
But Marbury, you're talking about Oscar Robertson. You know, maybe Isaiah was up there. You know, you're talking about some of the greatest players that have ever played statistically wise over a three or four, five, 6 year stretch. Steph was right there.
Yeah, I mean his numbers have always been good, but sometimes the numbers don't translate. You know, I mean that's what I'm trying to figure out. With Zach Randolph, you know, I mean, the guy puts up great numbers every night, but I'm like, are they good numbers? And I'm trying to stick with him because I think he's brand new and we got to give him a shot. But I think Isaiah's just kind of worn out his welcome. And I mean, to even be talking about Isaiah tonight after the way these guys played, I caught the fourth quarter. I mean, Isaiah who? And I, you know, I think everyone's kind of in some ways relieved to not have him around.
Keep him in a suit with a boot on his foot. Of course, you know, talking about Marbury and, you know, a guy whose locker room presence is really a deterrent to this team. I think that's clear. And his on-court presence is even worse. And, you know, with Marbury playing, you don't get the opportunity to play a Fred Jones. Or with Marbury playing, you have to play Marbury. You can't bench him. I mean, it'd be an even worse situation. You can't play Nate. You can't play Crawford. You know, all these guys who are definitely limited players. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, you're not winning, you're not going to be a playoff team with Nate Robinson and Crawford in your backcourt, you know, but you're definitely not going to be a playoff team with Marbury's defense. And my point with Marbury's defense, more so than anything, is where, and you and I talk about this all the time, is where did he ever learn to play, where did he ever learn the basics of defense?
No.
Where did he ever learn stance? Where did he ever learn, I mean, just the help, just the basics. Did he learn it at Lincoln? Probably not. A lot of high school kids don't. Did he learn it for Bobby Kremins?
No. I mean, I love Coach Kremins to death. Really cool guy. Great recruiter and a motivator. But, I mean, when you've got an ACC tournament game in Greensboro and you show up 20 minutes before tip-off, you know, I don't get the sense that, you know, all hands on deck and you're running the tightest ship in the world. Like I said, I love him. I wanted to come back and coach Fordham University. I think he'd be great for the Bronx because he's a Bronx guy. But, you know, I mean, he's easygoing, you know. And for a guy like Marbury, he'll walk all over someone like that.
And let's throw your credentials out there as someone who spent 4 years on the bench at the University of Maryland, certainly at the highest level, watching Tim Duncan and the Antoine Jamesons in the world. And listen, you know, is there more a fun player that you know you can watch than Antoine Jamison? And when I hear he's 10 years in the league, it makes me, you know, makes me a little scary. But certainly on the bench for Gary Williams and of course, head coach Jimmy Patsos of the Loyola Greyhounds, and as well another year on the bench for Mike Lonergan, who is now the head coach at the University of Vermont. If anybody understands ACC basketball, you know, it's you for sure.
Oh, yeah. And I can't get on Coach Kremins too much. I mean, Steph didn't exactly hang around there too long. He was one and done.
Well, that's the problem with me with all, you know, with the rule now and all these, you know, when it comes down to the Knicks have a sit now. What the Knicks need, okay? They need a defender on the perimeter. They need two defenders on the perimeter. Let's face it, and they need a defender under the basket. Two positions that it's like a relief pitcher in baseball. You know, the Mets need to improve their bullpen. Yeah, no shit. Every team needs to, you know,
right,
help their bullpen.
Right. It's never enough. You can always use more.
But there's no crop of you're not drafting a kid in the first round. You're not wasting a pick on a kid in the first round just because he's a great defender. Unless you're on that championship cusp. And
right,
the Knicks can't afford to go out and just say, listen, we need to keep a guy. You know, you got a guy like Balkman. Okay, he's not a perimeter defender, but he's a very good defender. He can't shoot, so he can't play. He's got, you know, he'll give you 10, 15 minutes. Fantastic. He can't stay on the court that much. The thing with me is, if you're going to bring a young player in and develop him, that's taking a step backwards. But what you need, you can't get at this point.
Right. And who knows if we'll even have our draft pick in 2008. Let's get real. I mean,
that's a good point.
I don't like to, you know, I'll believe it when I see it.
Which gets to the rumors about Randolph and, you know, hey, listen, if they apparently what's been buzzing around is that Glenn Grunwald, who has apparently superseded Isaiah now in handling, I guess Dolan is not allowing Isaiah to pull the trigger on any deals, and I guess we can say thanks, you know, thanks for that.
Yeah,
but
I'm not complaining.
Balkman and Randolph to the Bucks for good Ged Zurich. Yeah, that's a bad one. I was going to say good Gads, but that's terrible. Charlie Villanueva.
I couldn't believe his name was even in the article. I almost fainted.
And Bobby Simmons is a guy who I really like. Coming off an injury, semi-bad contract, I'll give you that, but a guy who has value to a good team somewhere down the line, you could probably spin him into something decent. But, you know, at this point with Randolph, you may have to think about making that trade.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, I really like the group they had out there at the end of the game tonight. And I know, you know, it's a long season, and NBA games are really long. But I'm going to stick with Randolph and say that he's part of the solution. I mean, you're not going to dump him. You're going to get contracts back for Randolph. And the guy makes a decent amount of money, but you know what? I mean, he rebounds on both ends of the court. He's not the best defender, but I think he's got a pretty good energy to him, and he'll pass it. You know, I mean, I don't know. I like the way he plays the game.
I like on the post, on the block. I understand how good Curry is. I've said this over and over and over. Give me a guy who can semi-defend the block, score, you know, 16 to 18, and pull down 5 and 5 on both ends, and you have to take that over Curry for sure.
Yeah, you know, and I think the group that they had out there at the end of the game really responded to playing with each other. You know, it's almost like, you know, I mean, everyone, each one of them is a flawed player in one way, but they were a lot of fun to watch because they're playing hard. And yeah, you can't have Balkman out there all game, but there's other guys you could fill in. But, you know, even Curry. I mean, Curry should get a decent amount of time. I'm okay with him and Randolph almost splitting some time, and whoever's playing better towards the end of the game, you kind of go with them. Let's get David Lee and Zach Randolph kind of rotate. Maybe you get a three-man rotation there. But, you know, this team all year has been run like a rec league where everyone gets their equal amount of time. I mean, let's start going towards a rotation.
Everybody's got to play, right?
Well, you know, Isaiah owes everybody. You know, it's not one of these environments. You'd like an environment where, you know, the best players play, and you know, there's some sort of feeling that the players want to be there and they want to work towards getting in the game. And, you know, the better teams, that's the way they're run. You know, you look at the better teams in the league, and there's the rotation, and then, you know, if someone's not working hard enough or having an off night, they take a backseat to somebody else. But there's no consistency in terms of, you know, it's almost like I said, it's like a rec league where everybody plays. I mean, I'm watching some highlights of Quentin Richardson. Looks like he had a few nice plays tonight, but he doesn't even look like he should be in the league anymore. He looks so out of shape. And he might do some nice things, but he's not an NBA player. I'd much rather have a better athlete out there. You mentioned Fred Jones. You know, I don't know. I just felt like the team really responded tonight with that group that was out there at the end. I think it was Nate, Jamal, Balkman, David Lee, and then I think it was Randolph for a little while, and Eddie Curry did some nice things. They pulled away with the game. I mean, not to mention some great highlights. How about Nate Robinson getting that outlet and throwing that alley-oop? I mean,
it was beautiful. But
some
now, let's
highlights all season.
You have to look at it from the standpoint that the Wizards obviously coming off a game in Boston, and obviously, you know, they're playing without Arenas, who's a top five player in the NBA. But
yeah.
you can't piss on the parade tonight because they did play well. And when you talk about Richardson as a guy who shouldn't be in the league anymore, oh, he'll be in the league because we've got him under contract until 2009, 2010, when he has a player option. And I was talking to a friend in law school, and I said to him, who on earth signed off on these contracts? Who on earth, when you're talking about backloaded, escalating contracts, at the end of the contract is a player option?
Right. For a guy with a bad back.
With a guy who they just talked about, they didn't, obviously, Isaiah, to be fair, Isaiah didn't negotiate Richardson's contract. But all you have to do is take a look at it and say, listen, this guy's got a bad back, and we're going to be paying him $9 million 2 years, or 4 or 5 years from now, and it's going to be his option. Where on earth is Quentin Richardson in 2 years going to be getting $9.3 million?
Oh, that's, you might as well, you know, that website you gave me is great. You might as well put that in, like, green. You know, usually a player option's in blue. Just go ahead and turn that green right now, because he's not turning it down.
Exactly. He's not turning it down. Crawford's a guy, you know, he's a player option. And then Curry, you know, I don't know. There's just, I have no idea, you know, blame Isaiah for whatever you want. But somebody has to look at the numbers and say, wait a second. How on earth are we going to give this guy the opportunity to make this much money? Certainly nobody was paying attention. But getting back to Randolph, if you trade Randolph and you bring back, again, Bobby Simmons, who over the next couple years signed a big deal and you know, kind of – Bobby Simmons is a player. Bobby Simmons is a guy who's completely lost right now with the Bucks, coming back from injury, starting to get his legs back a couple minutes back. You got to deal with Michael Redd. Their backcourt is a little shot happy, of course, and he's going to be coming into that situation here. But Simmons is a guy who's got value to a team, a playoff team that needs a perimeter defender, because he does that.
Right.
You bring in a guy like Gad Zurich, the ex-UCLA guy, who really doesn't have – he's got an extensive contract. He's got 4 more years, relatively, you know, between $6 and $7 million, which is, boy, do we have enough of those or what?
Yeah, I mean, the word's out on us. We'll take anybody. Any long-term contract.
Plenty of those. And then Villanueva, who's, you know, a talent. Villanueva is the reincarnation of Tim Thomas. I mean, unfortunately, or fortunately, if you bring in Villanueva, you only have to deal with him for, you know, this rest of this year and next year, and then you get some spot on, you know, some cap relief anyway. So it's a deal, you know, almost to get a guy like Simmons who you can spin into something maybe next year or a year or two later. And then Gadzirik, who's a very serviceable big guy. I mean, you could rotate him, Lee, and Curry, and then Villanueva. You get what you get from Villanueva. But knowing Isaiah, if he stays here that long, which I hope to God he won't, but Villanueva goes out and puts up monster numbers over 2 months, and next thing you know, he's got a six-year extension.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. I mean, I think Randolph, you know, I'm not ready to give up on Randolph yet. I think he's been pretty positive this year, and, you know, I mean, it's almost like, you know, you're going to take away from something that, you know, the guy's rebounding, which, I mean, Curry doesn't rebound at all. You know, it's almost like you're taking, okay, we're going to give up a little bit of rebounding to get the perimeter defending, and it's just, I don't know, you know, I like Randolph. I want to hold on to him. You know, I think Curry and Marbury, I look at their faces, and I'm not a big Q Rich fan. I look at these guys' faces, I'm like, just stay out of the way. Just stay on the bench. And, I mean, obviously you got to play Curry. You don't have a choice. The guy's a big body. And you know what? He didn't play bad, you know, the moments I saw him tonight. I mean, there wasn't much to challenge him there. Brendan Haywood seems to have lost a lot of weight, and you know, I mean, you should have a big night, and you should play well against a tired Wizards team that probably, you know, went all out to beat Boston last night and kind of came into New York exhausted. We beat up on them. We were the stronger team down the stretch, and I liked the rotation. I liked the group they had out there.
Just certainly,
keep Steph in a suit.
Certainly a lot to be positive with two wins in a row, and, you know, they've got another tough situation coming up. They're probably going to play some teams that aren't coming off back-to-back nights. But,
right.
You know, hey, like you said, if you allow the right guys, the right chemistry, the right mix to be on the floor, there's no reason this team can't compete. And you know, that's really, as sad as it gets, it's actually funny. We were talking about it the other night, with a buddy from work. We brought up the name Lee Nalon. And if you remember Lee Nalon, he was a guy who, you know, played about, you know, four years ago, I guess, on when the teams were, and I said this, I was just about to say when they were bad, but now they're terrible. So now, remember Lee Nalon? He played when the Knicks were actually decent.
Right.
And that's all you're asking. You're just asking to be decent, and that's the saddest part about the whole situation.
Oh, I mean, Blackman couldn't guard Butler tonight to save his life, but the only way he's going to get better at it, the only way he's going to learn.
Minutes.
Is to be out there. It'd be nice to have a coach who works with them, and who knows if the assistants work with these guys or watch film or anything. But, I mean, Balkman didn't play great, and Butler sniffed it out and was like, I'm taking this guy to the hole every time.
Yep.
And he basically did. And, you know, I mean, but I like seeing Balkman out there because I'd want to see him get better. Maybe that's the coach in me. But I like to see these guys play smart. I like to see Nate Robinson pull the ball out and run a little bit of clock. You know, I mean, that's progress. And New York fans are smart fans. I saw them at one point. I mean, we all love the alley-oop, and we love Balkman trying to dunk it on the baseline. But at one point, you know, Robinson pulls it out to run a little clock, passes it to Crawford, and the fans clap.
Standing up.
We don't need, these are smart people in the stands, and we're dying just for good basketball. And that's, it looked good tonight.
Absolutely. And, you know, coming up, if you look at the schedule, at New Jersey, at Washington, right back at you with the Wiz, and then at Miami. Certainly winnable games, and maybe the road will treat them as well as it has treated the New York Football Giants. Give me a quick prediction on the Giants in Green Bay this week.
Weather prediction or?
Give me a game.
I like G-men. I think the G-men can take it. I think
Absolutely.
It's going to be a smash-mouth game. I'm looking at low scoring. I could see the G-men maybe winning it 13-10.
You like low scoring, huh?
Low score with maybe a few Favre mistakes, or that guy who fumbled a couple times against the Seahawks, maybe.
Ryan Grant, former Notre Dame star.
I mean, he's
and
a great,
former Giant castoff.
Great player. Oh, I know, playing against his former team.
Well, we'll make sure to catch up, and hopefully we can catch that game together. Brian, as always, thank you very much for the insight.
Absolutely.
Mr. Big Shot.
Go Knicks.
See you. We'll see you this weekend.
You got it, D.
Thank you, brother. As always, the astute vision and perception from Brian from Scarsdale. 646-478-5554. Got about 10 minutes left to go in the show. And, of course, you know, we talked about the Randolph situation. You know, you have to say that Milwaukee is probably the one, obviously the one who turned the deal down, and I think they're crazy to do so in this sense. Say what you want about Randolph's attitude. He is a post player. He's a post option. He's a post threat. One thing that this team, that Milwaukee, and, you know, you watch him as much as you can, but you know, I certainly get the sense that Bogut is a good post player, somebody who likes to kind of float around in that, you know, 8 to 10 foot range and shoot jump shots is certainly a big part of his game. So, you know, and it, again, a reason why it doesn't work with the Knicks is because Curry can't do that. Now you say, listen, well, why can't we put Curry on the block and Randolph? Because Randolph can move off the block. And when you have two guys who can float and move around and make shots from the mid-range, just makes your team that much better. And that's why I believe Curry and Randolph haven't had the mix, because you know where Curry's going to have to be. And Randolph, you know, is now pushed off the block and has to settle for those jumpers instead of, you know, taking them when he's comfortable taking them. And, you know, when you look at the Bucks, you know, Yee is a guy who's Yee, the first round pick, is a guy who is certainly one of those perimeter European players as well. He likes to shoot the jumper. I see him more as a three at this stage of his career. Obviously, he's 7 foot, but you know, a guy who can, you know, if you throw in Randolph with Yee and Bogut, and you have Randolph playing major minutes and having those two guys, how much better does it make Michael Redd and Maurice Williams? Mo Williams and Redd are probably one of the top two or three backcourts in all of the Eastern Conference. So, you know, from a X's and O's standpoint, adding Randolph and dumping Simmons, you know, who again for me is a guy who's lost out there. He's a perimeter guy who he just can't get enough shots. He can't get comfortable. He can't get in the flow. And you can only ask him to play so much defense. And again, you know, when he comes to the Knicks, it's going to be a very similar situation for him. But he has value for a team that Simmons has a lot of Bowen in him. He's a defender at the highest of level. Maybe not all NBA defensive, but he's a guy who is certainly, I believe, is an underrated defender, and a guy who, if you can get on your roster, you may be able to move him somewhere down the line for maybe a player and a draft pick, maybe somebody that fits your system a little bit better. You know, the question is, do you want to bring in a guy like Gadzirich if Milwaukee agrees to the deal? I do. You know, if you give up Randolph, you're going to need some activity at the four position. You like what Balkman brings, but he's a three. You know, he's a tweener at best, which is why a lot of people thought he was a reach there in the first round for Isaiah at 20. Gadzirich is an active guy. He's going to rebound. He's going to block some shots for you. He's going to run the lane. He's going to attack the offensive glass, a lot what David Lee does. And if you can put both of them on the floor at the same time, obviously you don't have a post presence, but maybe that's when you can maybe be a little bit more creative and do some different things with some other players. But, you know, the idea is Curry and Randolph aren't working. How are you going to fix it? For me, there's a reason why you bring in Bobby Simmons. I think it's because you may be able to spin him. And then Villanueva is a guy who expires after next year. And you know, when you're talking about dealing a $17 million contract, as Randolph is over the, you know, a bunch of years, 14, 15, 16, 17 million, you know, if you can give that up, sure, you have to give up a Balkman, but, you know, listen, if you bring back a guy who's going to come off the books in a couple years and two guys who are decently serviceable, I think you have to do it. I'm not sure if Milwaukee feels the same way, but, you know, we'll see. 646-478-5554. We go back to the phones. Area code 973, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to talk about tonight's game.
What's up, man?
Yeah, I was at the game, and, yeah, it was a great win and all, but, you know, Isaiah still doesn't get it, you know? Just bench that. Excuse me,
yeah? Yeah, tell me why. What's Isaiah? Well, we know. I know why, but you tell me.
His rotation. They suck. First off, Eddie Curry, he's useless. He's just extremely. If he's not scoring, I know we say this all the time, but if he's not scoring, then there's no value to him. You know what I'm saying?
26 minutes, 7 field goals attempt against Brendan Haywood. You got to be kidding me.
Exactly. And, you know, it was so obvious. Like, he doesn't move at all. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't get over screens. He doesn't do anything. So, you know, we got to do something about this Eddie Curry. I mean, I don't like Z-Bo or Curry, but at least Z-Bo hustles. You know what I'm saying?
No, I hear you, man. The caller I had last time, he and I talk about Randolph all the time. Listen, I'll take a guy. If you want to have a one-dimensional guy under the hoop who gives you nothing otherwise, I'm taking a guy who gets me 18 and then 5 and 5 on both ends, because that's really more important than anything else.
And I mean, I really don't like Randolph anyway, but I mean, at least I think he's trying to pass the ball. I think these past two games he's been passing the ball, which results in good teamwork and ball movement. Ball movement is the key for the Knicks win. And Crawford tonight was just amazing. Him and Nate Robinson both. You know, Nate Robinson, he's playing like he did in summer league. You know, I think that's going to keep up for the rest of the season.
It's just too bad
we didn't do this in November and December, you know? Because I think, you know, we could be a pretty good basketball team when we share the ball.
Let me ask you a question. Does the backcourt of Robinson and Crawford, is that a playoff backcourt to you?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Nah, I mean, it's kind of low.
All right, how about now?
I mean, I can hear you a little bit, but...
My question was, is Nate Robinson and Crawford a playoff backcourt?
Excuse me? I'm losing, but anyway, thanks for having me anyway. I can't really hear you. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you.
I can hear
you. Thank you for calling. Oops, well, get back to us when you get a second. Caller from area code 973. We had a little technical difficulty there. You get right back to us. For me, it's, you know, listen, we know how explosive Nate and Crawford are. I mean, Crawford can be a top-flight scoring guard in the Eastern Conference, no question. But, you know, for me, it's what defensively he's gotten better. What I liked early on in the season from Crawford was his ability to use his newfound strength to get to the hoop, and he didn't need to do that tonight. And, you know, obviously when you're knocking down shots at an 11-19 clip and 6-7 from behind the arc, you don't need to, for sure, but one or two of the line. You know, the Knicks, as a team, it's amazing, only shot 10 of 14 from the free-throw line, still managed over 100 points. That showed you just how well they shot the ball. 646-478-5554, getting ready to wrap things up. Certainly a tremendous performance, back-to-back performance for the Knicks anyway. Let's get a quick, I said it earlier, we'll head to the forums here in on Real GM, and let's get something, let's see what we got going on here as we search the forums over here the last couple minutes. I apologize for the pause. The computer's a little slow. Well, actually, let's not waste any more time. We'll get to that next time. But again, listen, a good performance against a team that was, you know, coming off a good victory there over the Pistons. And the Pistons announcers. Here we go. As we go to the forums here. B-Stein14 says, Pistons announcers, both big fans of Isaiah, talked a lot about the Knicks ball movement is better without Marbury in here. I can't disagree with that at all. You know, ball movement is something that wasn't really one of Marbury's strengths. Certainly, it was probably his biggest weakness. But, you know, from a guy who had the ability, as we said before, Hall of Fame ability. I mean, when you think of Marbury, and you have to be fair here for a second. When you think of Marbury, Marbury was a power forward in a point guard's body with his ability to get to the basket and just bounce off big men and finish. Bounce off big men, kick out, you know, and then he had the ability to slice baseline and finish and finish at the rim, knock down threes. I mean, when you consider Marbury's numbers, and it's something that we will certainly look at in the next show, the guy is a Hall of Famer. The guy had Hall of Fame talent, and you know we have to go back to the quote that our friend Brian from Scarsdale brought up in the immortal words of Chaz Palminteri in the Bronx Tale. There is nothing in the world, absolutely nothing in the world, more tragic than wasted talent. And at this point in his career, Marbury's been just about that. He's been someone whose career to this point has been nothing short of tragic, nothing short of disappointment. And you know, when it happens to a New York guy, when it happens to somebody who's you know, one of your own, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to look at, very difficult to watch. And who knows, at this point, it looks like Marbury may have played his last game in a Knick uniform, and that's, you know, that's something that is tough to swallow for a lot of fans of New York who've seen Marbury kind of grow over. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back. Check truesportsfans.blogspot.com for our next edition. You've been listening to the Knicks Post Game Show with Tommy D on blogtalkradio.com. Thanks all, as always, to the callers, listeners. We will get back to you next game, next home game, rather, as the Knicks go on the road for three straight and then back home against Boston. Martin Luther King Day, hopefully following a giant victory in Green Bay. Once again, thanks for listening. Have a great night.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.